finally have time for the demos and the real experience. And thank you. That's probably Bert who started recording, because I almost forgot to do that.
Yep, I did.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Bert. So let's tonight, what we're going to do is monthly highlights, contributions, and other topics, and obviously some of the discussions, what will happen into April CU. So what are the key points, what we're going to do in April, and then concentrating on demos, because people want to usually see how these things are actually working. So that's definitely one of the key topics as well. And where did you get those slides from? You can actually already right now find the slides or one version of the slides from the our dev branch, or you can download the slides from the link window. All of the latest slides which will be presented will be available for download as well. Good. So where are you located? So. Thanks, Bert, for that one. So just a classic story, what we're trying to do, just to see interest where people are actually located. I'm going to pinpoint myself, if I can actually put myself in Finland this time. Oh, actually, I'm in Redmond right now. So let's put myself over there. For those who can actually do that. So we do have European, US locations quite nicely on the time. And good. Ken, you got the audio back. Good. Good. Excellent. And as expected, we don't have that many people actually attending from APAC. That's usually the case for these calls. If we will see in the future a significant demand from the Asian side as well, we will definitely start doing two calls in a month, or essentially two calls in a day, one for the APAC and EMEA and one for the US. Right now, this is recorded, but based on the feedback, obviously, we can do two calls as well if needed. Good. Let's move on the presentations. So the reminders on things. If you're interested on Office 365 developer patterns and practices, the easiest way to get contacted or find the information is the AKMS Office Dev BNB. That will land you right now to the wiki page of our repository in the GitHub, where you can find any information how to get started with the GitHub if you're not familiar with the GitHub stuff, and also how to get started with contributing back maybe, and all of the latest information what have we been releasing, for example, in the March CU. All of the questions, all of the feedback, all of that stuff, please use the Yammer group, and the easiest way to find our Yammer group is the AKMS/OfficeDevBNB Yammer. And that will then redirect you to the Office 365 network and to our Patterns and Practices Yammer group, which is we're super proud about the Patterns and Practices Yammer group, because it is actually the most active Yammer group in the Office 365 network. And it actually shows how the Yammer works. So, what we mean with that one is that we have more than 2,000 members in that group, and people are actually helping each other. We are obviously monitoring that group as well, and we're helping on any of the questions if those questions don't get answers on the timely manner. But it actually seems to be working quite nicely, that the community is helping the others in the community, and it's a really, really active Yammer group. So it's really great to see that it's working properly. One of the things what I actually quickly wanted to do before we go to the March release is just to explain what is our BNB model. Because not that many people seem to understand where are we coming up with some of this guidance, where are we coming up with some of these examples, because these are not actually just out of the thin air, based on what we are thinking in the dark hours of the night, because these are actually coming from customer engagements. And these are coming from the maturity of the stuff what we do in the core team side. Thank you, Jeremy. We are actually feeding a lot of the content in the BNB from the JDP program. And JDP program is something what we are running internally for all of our Office 365 dedicated customers. And it's pretty much the 35 biggest Office 365 customers out there, which we help on implementing the needed customizations into app model for them. So they have business requirements, functional requirements, and classically they have a significant amount of full-text code. And the JDP program is then helping those customers to transform to the app model. And all of those learnings, what we actually get, and maturity of the code and contribution stuff, what we do in the JDP program is then feeding the stuff and information and samples what we do in the patents practices. So it's actually real life examples, and real life examples based on real life implementations, which are actually in production for many of these customers in Office 365 platform. The second source for the PNP guidance is absolutely the community, and it's a growing theme, and it's a significant part, and we really, really want a community to be part of this one. So there's a significant amount of people who've been active on helping, for example, providing insights on the issues, finding bugs within the core component, but also contributing with samples and doing, for example, contributing with the articles like Tobias Zimmergren as an example, or contributing with real examples like Radi is a good example, or Irvin, who started by contributing with PowerShell commandlets, included them in the PNP, and then it has been updating them all along. There's a lot of samples which we're getting in as a pull request from the community, and it's highly, highly helpful and highly appreciated, because what it means is, from our perspective, is that then whatever you have learned, you're sharing that for others. And so that others don't have to bang their head against the wall, and they can learn from your learnings, and then they will share, and then you can learn actually from their learnings. And therefore we community can actually learn as a group of people from each other. And therefore we don't always have to start from scratch. And that's a really, really big, thinking point in the patterns and practices. Sharing is caring, like we used to say. That's the theme within the patterns and practices guidance. What do we do with all of this guidance, the patterns and practices? Then it feeds into obviously the reusable samples and solutions. It feeds into trainings. It feeds into guidance. It feeds into MSDN as well. Our MSDN node has already, 7,000 unique visitors within a few weeks, which is a significant number within the MSDN as well. We have videos, obviously the core component has a big thing, there's reusable presentations and obviously seminar materials and other assets which are coming out of all of this program. But it's really interesting to see how things are evolving, and this seems to be working extremely well, and people are willing to share their knowledge, which is obviously the key thing, so that we're able to teach and learn from each other to be more skillful in this area, which is, learning to do the right stuff in the cloud as we go. Good, 11 minutes before I need to hand over to Frank for the actual demos. Some statistics, some numbers. The PNP repo has been forked 360 times. This was the number in this morning, like 5 a.m. in Redmond time. I flew in on Sunday, so my time zones are absolutely messed up, so I woke up at 3 a.m. So, but some of these numbers are taken like 5 a.m. in this morning in Redmond time or PST time. But the forking is definitely one thing what we measure in the PNP, in quote, success. We've been forked more times than the Microsoft Azure .NET SDK. The .NET SDK for Microsoft Azure has like 310 forks, and we have 360. For us, that's a significant number. Thinking how fast it has been growing, if we have a look on those previous months. Pull requests are a significant thing for us, absolutely, and it's growing quite nicely. It means that people are actually submitting stuff, and it's getting contributed, and we're getting contributions to the program. We're closing issues as we go. Some of those issues, to be honest, are not actually issues. They're not bugs. There might be enhancement ideas. There might be ideas for new content. And what we're right now seeing more and more is that the community goes to our issue list and is taking ball on some of those issues and making and start working on additional contributions. And that's really, really great. We are falling into the red, on average around 4,000, slightly more than 4,000 unique visitors in every single 2 weeks, which seems to be pretty much the average right now. It's been like that for past month. Nugget package, I think, performed in 4,700. I think that will go higher now that the core component has been released as a V1.0. Yammer Group has already more than 2,000 members, and that's growing extremely nicely as well. And that's been extremely active in the network as well. And we do have a Facebook page. I actually didn't update that number. I think it's more than 140. So if you're using Facebook, we're using that also for communicating some of these releases and so on. Going back on the actual details on the March, so the core component, what is the March release and the key points on the core March release on the patterns and practices? So the core component, which is our reusable remote operation component, is now in the V1.0 level. Essentially, what we did was that we removed all of the deprecated methods. We did a significant testing. We did a significant, let's say, cleaning on the component. And we're not now committing on not breaking any of the methods signatures again until further notice. And we continue cleaning and let's say, cleaning and making the core component as simple to use and as easy to use for the community. And the whole point is that it encapsulates reusable methods, which could be hundreds of lines of, even hundreds of lines of code. Something like you want to add a web part to a specific location in a wiki page. It's a one-line method call using the core component, and behind of that is actually tens and tens of lines of code. So it's increasing the productivity of the developers. And what we're seeing with the core component is really nice that the community is more and more starting to contribute on the core component, having suggestions, and there's a lot of new development of core component side as well. What's really cool in the March release is also the remote time job framework. That's part of the core component. So it's actually part of the core component usage. And what it gives us is a capability of running, let's say, easily implement remote time job implementations, meaning scheduled or on-demand tasks, which are then accessing the SharePoint using remote APIs in the multi-threaded way even. And Bert is going to do a demo on that one later today on this call, so I'm not going to go too detailed on that one. There's new samples and solutions. We also have a significant amount of new Channel 9 videos, which were recorded for miscellaneous reasons, but they're absolutely shared for the community as well. There's a lot of new MSDN linked articles, which are then grouped and linked to the BNB guidance repo. So we can actually submit changes to the MSDN using the GitHub as well, which is super, super cool stuff. One of the small things to note, previously we've been communicating that the site provisioning framework would be released in the March release. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but we're still looking into to pushing this out in the dev branch during the March timeframe. And Frank is going to do a demo on showing the thinking and what are we actually planning to do with the site provisioning framework right now and showing the schemas and the models on that one. Slightly later today. I'm still in six minutes. In this particular month, we had ten external people contributing. So that was Erwin Van Hoonen, Guillermo Bass, Matthew Anselaret, Michael Svensson, Nandip Nathan, Paolo Piorsi, Patrick Bjorklund, Paul Shefflin, and Radi Anatolosov. I'm sorry for my pronunciation. I call it English. And then we have a significant amount of new Microsoft people involved in as well. So all of the people what we were working within the JDP program, which is one of the internal programs for the app model transition, have been now actively moved to be involved in the BNB as well. It's been a really, really nice month again. A lot of significant improvements and a lot of changes within the repo and a lot of new samples. And also a lot of new articles into MSDN as well. So some of the MS people now mentioned in the slide are actually working full-time with us on updating the MSDN articles, which are linked to the BNB guidance. So we are growing also internally, which is a super, super interesting thing and super exciting thing for us as well. Moving on the new contributions, this is a quick list of things, just to pinpoint what are those new contributions. So we had a async web chart creation of site collection to the cloud. We have a Qt web chart usage, which is showing on-demand operations using the Azure web charts and with the storage queues. New samples for the core.app web app events and app event handler delegations. Both are showing how to handle app installed and app uninstalled event in a, let's say, advanced way. Core site information, I think this one was from Brady as well, how to collect the site information. Well, actually, that's not a how to show current site information from a custom menu item. Provisioning cloud workflow shows how to use workflow provisioning on SharePoint site using a remote provisioning pattern and CSAM triggered from a host web. An additional workflow example and also provisioning batch, which is showing how to do batching of actually, I'm reading that because I can't remember the example, but Frank's face is on top of the text, so I can't see that. It's actually batching the site collection creation, so that should be fine.
Yeah, it's a simple XML that you feed to a piece of code that then creates all the site collections in XML.
Yes, that's what it was, actually. And one of the really, really interesting things and a big thing is absolutely the core.timeajobs.samples, which is Bert is going to show that one today. So I'm not going to go too much detailed on that one. But this is something really, really super cool, which is going to help on the community definitely on implementing remotely running operation or scheduled operation in on-premises or within the cloud. And like I said, I'm going to quick on the speed of the slides will be relatively fast because I don't want to steal time from the demos. Updated contributions, the core.large file upload has been updated. It is now showing how you can upload in a reliable way up to 10 gigabytes file size. So you're able to, essentially upload your files in a sliced manner. You're uploading 10 gigabyte files in a, let's say, 10 megabyte slices. And then that will be in the server side, it will then combine that to a single file and you'll be good to go. Updates on the Office 365 API overview, taxonomy picker had some nice usability improvements in the component side. PowerShell commands, well, Irvin has been actively engaged on the PowerShell side and keep on improving that one. And there's a additional documentation on the PowerShell side as well. And all of this stuff, you can go to our wiki page and have a more detailed look on the linked samples and what has been actually changed on those examples as well. Key updates on the BNP core. I'm not going to go too detailed on this one, but there's a significant amount of changes in the BNP core, like setting variation settings and create variation labels using then CSAM operations. And interesting stuff if you're doing multilingual deployments. Moving on things, we didn't have a significant amount of new articles in the guidance repo in the last month, but we do have a significant amount of new MSDN linked articles. So if you go to an HTTP AKMS Office Dev BNP MSDN, you will land into MSDN guidance, which is based on the patterns and practices repo and our stuff, what we do in the patterns and practices, which is now synced on our guidance repo as well. What it means is that if there's a bug or there's a suggestion for additional content, we can actually use the pull request methods to do so. So this is a really, really great thing to do. There's a significant amount of new patterns and practices videos. I think 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 9, if I did count that quickly, properly. So if you go akms/office-dev-bnp-videos, you will enter our channel 9 section, and this is where we will have additional videos coming in the future as well. And I know that, for example, Bert is going to do a video related on that remote time job example.
It's actually just live 10 minutes ago.
Ah, okay. So I didn't listen. Thanks, Bert.
No worries.
BNP training. So we do have a training material. Excellent, Irvin, for the video on upcoming PowerShell as well. So we do have a training material already created based on the BNP guidance with 10 different modules, and these are available for you to download and use as you wish. We are actually encouraging you to use this material to come up with your own training material and deliver that to the customers and partners all around the world. Absolutely reusable for you any way you wish. We have slides, we have hands-on labs, and then the demos are actually linked from the BNP repo. So absolutely free to use this any way you want. And we are looking into doing recordings for all of these modules as a video recording in the near future. And that's something which we just need to schedule with Jeremy. Probably actually today afternoon, we will have a schedule created on that one. So you will then have a 10 new videos, 10 new modules with the videos included in our package as well. So you're able to then more easily redeliver this training as needed. And I'm all out of time already. We should be having Paula and Ruddy in the call. If you don't mind, guys, if you have a second and don't mind, I'm just double checking. Yes, we do. If you don't mind, do a quick intro, both of you, because Paolo and Ruddy are now part of the core team as well. So they're doing coordinations from the community. Well, they chose from the community side. They both were highly active on the PNP and indicated that they're interested on showing, well, joining the core team, and now they've been cleared. Well, due miscellaneous reasons, they have to be cleared. So they can be part of the core team as well. But if we start with Paolo, if you don't mind doing a really quick intro on who you are and what's your background.
Okay. Hello, everybody. My name is Paolo. I'm a consultant and a author. I'm focused on SharePoint and Office 365. And I'm really happy to contribute to the community and to the PMP group. So that's all for me.
That was a phone call ringing on the background.
Yes, Paolo, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah.
No worries. Paolo is a MVP and a MCM as well from a certification perspective. And we should have Ruddy in the call as well. Ruddy, do you mind?
Yep. Hey, guys. So it's Ruddy here from Bulgaria. I run a company called OneBit Software. We do SharePoint and lots of Office 365. I'm an MCM, I'm an MVP. I've spent, I think, two rotations with VESA in Redmond. I'm happy to be part of this.
Excellent. Thanks, Shadi. And sorry, Frank, I'm stealing some of your time for the demos. I want to do one more slide and then we move on to the demo side. Just coming quickly and back on the roadmap before we go to the actual demos, because most likely we will run out of we will run to all of the rest of the time for the hours on the demos for Frank and Bert. The April release will definitely include the provisioning engine v1.0. We actually have now multiple people working on the engine, and we're highly committed on doing that, and that will be out by April. That will be available in the dev branch earlier than that. And today you will see a early, let's say, preview on what's actually coming out. Obviously, we will continue supporting and evolving the core components. We will also have additional samples and solutions. For example, LOB connectivity to the on-premises demonstrated with Azure stuff. That will be definitely available. We're looking into releasing there will be additional articles in MSDN, absolutely, based on the BNP guidance. I just didn't list all of what is actually coming. And we're also looking into content like recipes for transformation. Essentially, what it means is that we would have a clear table of content for the SharePoint full trust code developers to go and see that if I used to have for example, a delegate control, how would I implement a delegate control using the app model techniques? So you would have this kind of a table of content where you can go and easily see that what you had in the Fortress code, this is how you can implement that using the app model. And then we're linking all of the samples what we have in the BNP for that particular topic. And the final bullet point is actually also really interesting, and we're super excited to be able to do that. So we're working on releasing our JDP program process as a reusable package for the field. And what it means is that we've been working with these Office 365 dedicated customers on the transition from the on-premises or from the Fortress code to the app model. And we have it's getting really, really great feedback. We have a reusable process, which we actually use with all of these customers, and we're planning into getting this one shared for the community. And then the community can start building on that process as well. It's proven process, it works, and we do have a good amount of IP then to let's say prove that how you can actually do that with your on-premises customers who are moving to the Office 365. Really, really interesting stuff which is coming out. Good. One reminder before we go to the demos, please keep on giving us feedback, keep on giving us suggestions. The Yammer group is your friend, so it's not only for questions, just keep on giving suggestions there as well. If you also have a specific, let's say, ideas, it would be great to see X and Y and Z as an example. You can go to the GitHub repository and create an issue, as say enhancement suggestion or so on. Or if it's clearly a bug within the existing stuff, or you don't like anything, something which we don't have, which we have in the existing guidance, just please go and add an issue or a bug report, and then we can have a discussion within the GitHub for that one. So your input is extremely valuable for what we actually do, because it's driving everything what we do. So your input is extremely, extremely valuable. And hopefully, please keep on doing that within the GitHub and also in the Yammer group. Good. I think it's...
This is so that you can reuse that object. The other one is the template, and that is our custom domain object that mimics that XML file, right? It's an object that is serializable from that XML template, that schema that you saw earlier. So in case, for an example, you needed to know what type of template that you're working on, we will pass that information to you. That string configuration, again, right, that configuration data will be passed to the provider that is implementing this interface, and then you can perform whatever logic you want based upon that C data tag. I know I went through the slide, this deck fairly quickly. I wanted to get through and show you some of the things that we're thinking of, and also reserve some time for Bert to show you actual some demos. My ask of the community is look at this deck, look at the schema XML, all right? Look at it, provide your feedback and your thoughts. Post out into the Yammer, PNP Yammer group. Let us know what you're thinking, because we want to listen to your thoughts, right, before we get into the implementation phase, before we release. So we want to incorporate as much feedback that we can. Before this actually gets out.
Frank, so just a quick suggestion on that one. Let's just upload this deck and the presentation to the Yammer group for comments. I think that's probably the easiest way to actually get it.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Vesa. I will upload after I turn this over to Bert. I will definitely upload this out to the Yammer group for everyone to be able to consume. And again, please provide your feedback. We want to hear from you. We know that this is important. We know that this is a highly asked capability. We want to get it as right as we, you know, as close as we can for the very first release. And that was some of the reasons for the delay.
Okay. Good. Thanks, Frank.
And with that, Bert, it is up to you now, my friend.
Yes, thanks, Frank. So while my screen is starting to share, my name is Bert Jansen. I'm a senior consultant in MCS Belgium, so the services department from Microsoft, located in Belgium. And as like Frank, I'm one of the core PNP team members. Now today I'm going to talk a little bit about the recently released Time Azure framework. So it has been released as in the March update, and the Time Azure framework itself actually is part of the PNP core library. Now before we dive into the details, one quick slide on getting you started, and also some background, like why would you need a Time Azure framework? What are typical purposes? And if you think about app model development, you do know that everything starts from provisioning. So the provisioning engine that Frank talked about creates sites. Now, once a site has been created, what happens? Your company evolves, your needs evolve, you need to update existing sites. So you need to have an easy way to run over all existing sites and do a particular change, like updating the branding. Another typical sample, and that's one that I will show in a demo today, is around governance. Companies have governance regulations like, for example, each and every site collection needs to have two administrators. If one guy is not available, then at least there's a second one. Now, how can you build such a thing? There again, a timer job is an easy way to give you the infrastructure, the plumbing, to write this kind of a job. Now, for time's sake, let's quickly run through this slide. So how do you get started? First step is you need to have the time job framework available. As mentioned, it's part of the PnP core library. So the easiest way is just create a console application in Visual Studio, and I pull down our NuGet package. You search on PnP, you get the NuGet package and get everything in, and you're ready to go. In the second step, you create your timer job. Now, creating a timer job is actually as simple as just writing a class that inherits from our base timer job framework class. Once you have created your own class, like the My Job here on slide, you can add your logic, and that will be shown in the demo. So in step two, you write your timer job logic. When a timer job executes, it executes against one or more site collections. So it needs to have authentication means, which can be either username, password, or app-only token. You need to specify that. You need to specify what sites do they want to run this timer job on. So a timer job needs to have a kind of a site scope, as I call it. Like, it can run across all sites, it can run for particular sites, something that you determine. And finally, you publish and run. Now, this is recorded in the video. So if you want to know more about this process and see the gradual buildup from step one to five in more detail, I recommend watching, checking out the video. For now, I will just dive into our samples and explain one of them. So I've opened Coder Timer Job Samples, which contains actually 10 different timer jobs, ranging from simple ones to more complex ones. And I've picked out one, which is the governance job. So what this one will do is it will implement the governance scenario that I talked about, where you enforce that the site has two administrators. Now, how did we do that? So quick run to the code, and then we run it. We inherit from the timer job base class, step one. Step two is creating your constructor. Write a name for your timer job, and the timer job run event. So this event is critical, important in the timer job framework. For all the sites that you want to, the timer job runs against, this event is fired, and in this event, you write your specific timer job logic. You can also control the timer job behavior, whether it needs to manage state, use threading. We don't have time to go in all details today for this one, but there will be more videos explaining those options in detail. But the default behavior of the timer job framework is to use threads. So everything runs in multiple threads. Now here I am at the specific event that we implemented, the timer job run event. And this event is then fired for each site that the timer job will process. And what you then do is write your own logic in here. This is maybe a bit more complex logic, but there are also very simple samples that I show you the hello world type of timer job. But what you do is you just write your logic, and the timer job framework helps you by providing, for example, the client context. You don't need to worry about what client context do we need to use to work against my site. You receive it from the timer job framework. The timer job framework will also provide state for you. So you can manage kind of a job state during the timer job runs. So here we save the script file version as state, and which means that the first time the timer job runs, this one is not there. So we will upload a file to the asset library. Next time, we see this property is there because it's in the state, and we just skip this action. Now, I can't explain all details right now, but it's pretty simple code to read and to understand. It's all based on PNP. Now let's move to the last part here before I can press F5. So we created that site governance job. Now, before we can actually run it, we need to provide authentication details, as mentioned. So in this case, this one is using app only. So you provide the client ID, client secret. This is kind of a special case. If you use app only, we also provide a username and password. If we want to have the time machine framework enumerate sites. So one of the features here is, it's the highlighted line, is that the time machine framework will find all site collections that match to a particular pattern. Now this is based on search, and search doesn't work with app only. So hence we use a username and password, but only for this site enumeration. The actual logic is running using app only token. Okay, my apologies that I'm really rushing, but I want to stay within time, and so I'm going to press now F5. So let's run this timer job. What it will do is it will run the code for all site collections that match this particular wildcard URL, which are more than one site collection. So I'm pressing F5, and let's move this over here. So you see it's starting up. It will use search to find all the sites matching to this pattern. And then it will kick off multiple threads that will process all the sites. So in this case, it marked this site dev3 is compliant because there are two admins. That was the use case. If I would run the same sample again, so let's go to that site. Let's say site settings. Site collection administrators, very quick. I'm dropping one, so I only have one administrator left. I suppose that this same job would run again, scheduled as, for example, as an Azure web job. So I'm going to close, press F5 again. And it's starting up. Here we are. It's running. So it does do the same thing, enumerate the sites, and it will kick off the threads that do the actual work. Now you see it marked the dev3 site as incompliant. And if we go back to this dev3 site, we see here the end result is that since your site is not compliant. This is a typical sample of a timer job, but in the end, you determine the logic, you write the logic in here. The time machine framework provides you the means to easily write logic, the means to manage state, and multi-threaded execution. Okay, 2 minutes left, so I've been really, really rushing. My apologies again. So I think, Vesa, we have a few minutes for some Q&A.
Yeah, I think we'll probably need to do the Q&A in the Yammer side anyway, and there has been a active discussion in the IM window. So,
yeah, I didn't follow that. I was focused on rushing through my demo. But the key message is that just try it. Watch the video. It shows you a Hello World type of sample, how to get started. It's really easy to use and pretty powerful. And provides you all the information that you need as a developer to write these things, and fully documented. So everything's there. Try it out. Provide feedback. Let us know what can be done better.
Yeah. And the video is in our Channel 9 section. So akms/office-dev-bnp-videos.
So here it is. Introduction to the PNP Time Machine Framework. It's 20 minutes for a very simple one. Now I did 10 minutes on a complex one. So.
Good, and the whole point on quickly on that one still. So the actual timing and execution of your code, that's then up to the whatever scheduler you're using. That could be a Windows scheduler, that could be a host of a Windows service running in your Windows server, like what Irvin is about to release as a scheduler for this one, or it could be a Microsoft Azure scheduler in the cloud. But then what the framework is actually giving is the middleman which is helping on providing the context, crawling of individual sites, and adding additional, additional advantages from performance perspective as well, with the throttling and all of that.
Yep, absolutely. It's pretty easy to just deploy it to as an Azure AppJob, for example, like you see here. And then you can just kick it off, run once, or have it in a continuous mode running. But typically, you would kind of schedule this one. So you have this runs each night, or this runs each first Friday of the month. That type of schedules are perfectly feasible.
Good. I think that's it. We're running out of time, and I need to also move into another meeting that I'm running just quickly, switch into the slides. But I think that's for the March, and let's continue the discussions and chatting in the Yammer site. So the Yammer is, you can find all of us in the Yammer, and we are actively following on all of the discussions in Yammer site. And I think that's pretty much it for the March release and the monthly community calls. From the Yammer, you can also find a downloadable ICS file for getting this monthly call to your Outlook calendar. So that should be helpful as well. But please let's be active, and remember to share, because that's where we can all benefit from the learnings of each other. And that's the key point of the BNP, definitely. Thank you, everybody, for joining. And thank you, Frank and Bert, for the demos. And the next call is then the second Tuesday of April with the new stuff from the April side. Thank you.
And just to let everyone know that deck for the site provisioning has been uploaded to Yammer.
Interested in hearing your feedback. And I'm done talking.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks, everybody.
Cheers, guys.